Now, I too would like to thank each one that's come here tonight to attend this meeting, and we trust that God would continue to bless as we look again into his word. My first reading is in the Gospel of Luke and chapter 2. Just while you're looking up Luke chapter 2, remind you of the meetings. Tuesday night, there is a prayer meeting here at 7 o'clock, followed by ministry with our brother Norman Mellish. Friday evening this week, Truth Builders at 6:30. And then next Sunday, God willing, the meetings here, including the gospel again at 7 o'clock. These meetings are in the will of God. Now, reading please at Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. I want to speak in my message here about God's salvation. And by that I mean the salvation that God has provided in the person of his Son. God's salvation that he has made available for sinful men and women. Reading in Luke 2 verse 25, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." So notice there in verse number 30, Simeon says, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation," God's salvation seen in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now one other verse in Acts 4 and verse 12, a well-known verse to many, and this is really where I want to focus my comments on tonight, this verse in Acts chapter 4, verse number 12. The Apostle Peter preaching in Jerusalem, Acts 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That verse there we've just read, it refers to salvation. It refers to the need to be saved. It refers to a name, but it does not actually give the name in the verse. So just very quickly to put that verse into the context of the book of Acts, in the previous chapter, Peter and John have healed a lame man who is at the gate of the temple in Jerusalem. And they say to that man there in chapter 3, verse 6, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." The apostles in that early period of the church, they preached about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They preached of salvation and deliverance and healing in his name. And they were subsequently arrested by the Jewish authorities in Jerusalem, the rulers, the chief priests and the scribes. And here in chapter 4 and verse number 7, they asked Peter and John, "By what power or what name, by what name have you done this?" Referring to the healing of the lame man. And they answered in verse 10, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, but that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." And that is the name that they're referring to in Acts 4 verse 12. The name in which there is salvation is none other name than the name and the person of God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we think tonight about this great matter of God's salvation for sinful humanity, we are thinking about the one who is the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The need that we have for salvation from our sins. The vital need that we have to be saved. We must be saved. The need that we have to have our sins forgiven. And praise God tonight, there is a salvation to proclaim. There is a salvation that is available for all. For all in this meeting, for all sinners tonight, a salvation that is available exclusively in the person and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We've already heard quoted this evening the words of the Lord Jesus himself as he spoke about the way to the Father. John 14 verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the one exclusively in whom God's salvation is to be found. He is the one who came down into this world, sent by God the Father to be the Savior of sinful men. John the Apostle says in his first epistle, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. When he was born into this world, you remember the angel that instructed Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now his people in that verse specifically refers to the nation of Israel. He was sent for their salvation. But the scriptures speak very often of him as the Savior of all of humanity. The Old Testament scriptures prophesied of him as the Savior who would be sent not just for Israel, but for all people, for all nations. God says to his Son in Isaiah 49 verse 6, I will give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou may be my salvation unto the end of the earth. God's salvation prepared for all men. It is in the person of the Lord Jesus. And so we read there in Luke chapter 2, just very briefly, we'll touch on that. This man Simeon, scripture tells us he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And he was led by the Spirit of God to go into the temple in Jerusalem at the very same time that the Lord Jesus was brought as an infant child into the temple. And Simeon saw that child, and he took up the child in his arms, the infant child Jesus. And we read what he said. He blessed God. He said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Simeon was quoting the word of God, quoting that verse that I just quoted from Isaiah 49, recognizing that the child Jesus was the one who was given as a light to the Gentiles. He was God's salvation that was prepared before the face of all peoples. And so here we see Simeon, led by the Spirit of God, to take up in his arms that child Jesus. And what is Simeon saying? He's saying, yes, here is the one who is God's salvation, not just for the people of Israel, but for the people of all nations in this world. And Simeon is saying, I'm holding him in my arms, the one alone in whom that salvation is to be found. And Simeon is appreciating that he's my Savior. He's the one in whom my salvation is to be found. And so that man Simeon in Luke chapter 2, led by the Spirit of God, he is recognizing the truth of Acts 4 verse 12. And subsequent to the death of the Lord Jesus and his resurrection, these apostles, Peter and John, they were preaching that same message that Simeon had appreciated, that in him alone there is salvation. and that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Now let us just, for the rest of this meeting, think about that final expression in this verse. We must be saved. We must all recognize that we need the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We must all recognize that God's salvation is in Him alone. If ever we're going to be in God's heaven, we must be saved. And the wonderful truth of the gospel tonight is that because of the work of the Lord Jesus, His death on the cross of Calvary, when He gave Himself as a sacrifice for man's sin, because of that, the great blessing of God's salvation is available to all tonight, here in this meeting. Whoever we are, whatever age is present here in this meeting, whatever background we have, there is a salvation that God has prepared, that God has made available to everyone, and it is in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus. We must be saved. The universal need of God's salvation. Why? Because of our sin. Because we are wicked sinners. I hope nobody immediately refutes that. We're wicked sinners in the sight of God. Romans 3 tells us there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I trust that all here tonight that we're prepared to acknowledge our sinful condition, our inherited sinful condition. We are sons of Adam's fallen race. We are all guilty sinners. Our hearts are stained with the guilt of our own personal sin before the holy God of heaven. You see, it's not a matter of measuring ourselves in relation to other sinful men and thinking that because maybe we're not as bad as others, then that means that we must be fit to be with God and be in His heaven. No, we are to measure ourselves by who God is. And He is the thrice holy God. He is unalterably holy. He is unutterably holy. He is impeccably holy. He is the thrice holy God. And we all fall far short of His standard of holiness. You see, the reality of our condition before God begins with what we are. Listen to that. What we are inherently as sinners. Our disposition is to sin. And understand that it doesn't get any worse than that. It doesn't get any worse in absolute terms than what we are as sinners in the sight of a holy God. So that's the reality of our condition. What we are, we are guilty sinners. Then it becomes a matter of what we do as sinners. And we've been hearing a little bit about that as well tonight. As we live our lives, what do we do as sinners? We commit sins. There are the lies that we tell. There are the things that we covet. There are the thoughts that we've been hearing about tonight. The hateful thoughts. The unclean thoughts. These are the sins that we commit. And you know, above all that, there is our sinful failure to acknowledge God. To acknowledge God as sovereign. To acknowledge God as supreme in our lives. We are all condemned before the God of heaven. We need to understand that that is our condition. And we commit sin And God hates sin. And yet sin is something that is very attractive to the sinful human heart. That is our sinful condition. Our disposition is to sin. Our tendency, our preference is to commit sin. We want to do our own will. And that very often is not what God's will is for us. And so you have self-will and you have God's will. And they invariably are at odds. And as sinners, we love to do what God hates. And we hate to do the things that God loves. This is what it means to be a wicked sinner. That is the sad reality, but it is reality. And that is why the world is in the condition that it is in. There is so much hatred, there is so much violence, there is so much discord in this world. Why? Because it is a world that is populated by wicked sinners. But please don't for a minute excuse yourself from being that wicked sinner. The Word of God labels us all as such. And you know there is everything about my life and there is everything about your life that declares it to be true that we are wicked sinners before a holy God. That is why we must be saved. And without God's salvation, God is going to judge our sin. He will judge us as sinners. And we've been hearing about that tonight. And the only judgment that the Bible speaks about for sinners, the only judgment that the Lord Jesus, God's Son, spoke about for sinners, is to be consigned to that outer darkness, to hell, and then for eternity to the lake of fire. And that means, as we've been hearing, to be forever separated from God. To be forever shut out from heaven's glory. It means to be eternally lost. To be one of those wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That is the reality of God's judgment for sin. You know, the Bible speaks in Hebrews chapter 10 about a certain, fearful looking for of judgment. I wonder if you sit in this meeting tonight, younger person, young child, older person, do you recognize that if you're not saved, there is a certain fearful looking for an expectation of God's judgment? That is why we must be saved. And if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, this is a vital need. This is an urgent need that you have to be saved now while you have the opportunity. But Acts 4 verse 12 is telling us that there is salvation and it is alone in the person of the Lord Jesus. And when Peter says here we must be saved, I want us all to understand that we need another to be our Savior. And the other person is, of course, God's Son, the Lord Jesus. He is the mighty Savior. We need to be clothed with that righteousness that is in the Lord Jesus himself. He is the one who can save us. We must be saved, but we cannot save ourselves. We cannot effect our own salvation from our sins. There's nothing that we can do by our own good works, by any form of good living, religious activity, religious observances, or any such thing. You know, every form of man's religion says you have to do something for God to receive you. As if it were possible to make yourself worthy of meriting God's salvation. As if it were possible to secure for oneself a place in God's heaven. No, no. If that was true, it would not be of God's grace. If that was true, then we would be doing the saving for ourselves. we would be able to save ourselves. And then we wouldn't need the Lord Jesus Christ. We wouldn't need him as our Savior. We wouldn't need his death on the cross, if that were possible. But Peter is telling us here that that is exactly what we do need. We do need the Lord Jesus. We do need his sacrifice and his death upon the cross. For neither is there salvation in any other, and that includes ourselves. Neither is there salvation in any other. We cannot save ourselves. We need the Savior, the Lord Jesus, because he alone did the work of God's salvation when he gave himself upon the cross. And so you need to come to Christ in faith and in trust, and you need to accept him as your Savior, and you need to be saved. You need to cast yourself entirely on the saving grace and mercy of God. And you need to let Christ, the Savior, save you. The hymn says, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross, the cross of Christ, I cling." You see, there are a lot of people in this world, and they go in for some form of religion, religious activities, and they hope that at the end of their life, on the basis of what they have done, they will be with God in heaven. You know, these words of Peter in Acts 4, verse 12, they were spoken to some of the most religious people this world has ever known. Peter wasn't telling them they needed more religion. Peter wasn't telling them that they themselves could do anything to be brought into a right relationship with God. No, Peter was telling them, you need to be saved. We must be saved. Peter was telling them they needed Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that's the message that we have in the Gospel tonight. God's salvation is not in man's religion and in anything that any of us can do. No religious activities, no observances, none of those things. God's salvation is in a person, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the message that all in Winnipeg need to hear tonight. The message of God's grace, that we must be saved. You know, it's not the message that you'll hear broadcast on your television or your radio. It's not the message that politicians will give you as they seek your vote in elections. It's not the message that the so-called stars and celebrities of this world will be speaking about. You know, the voice of this world is really the voice of the evil one, Satan. And basically the voice of this world is to eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow you'll die. And there's no hope in that. Listen to the voice of this world, and you'll perish with Satan in a lost eternity. And we don't say that just to be shocking, but we honestly say it with tenderness, because it's what men and women and boys and girls need to hear tonight. Listen to the voice of this world, and you will perish, and you will be condemned as a sinner in a lost eternity. But what we proclaim tonight is the message that God has for you. And we trust that you'll listen to the voice of God's word and the message of his salvation that he has prepared, God's salvation for sinful humanity. And it is a wonderful message. It is a blessed message. It is a message of his grace. It is a message of his love. It is a message of eternal salvation that he has provided in his Son. It's a message of forgiveness for the sinner. It's the forgiveness of sins that is found in the Lord Jesus. And that is a blessed truth, that there is forgiveness for those who take Christ as their Savior. You know, many in this world, they are completely unable to forgive. There's that root of bitterness in the sinful human heart. And the last thing that so many can do is forgive their fellow human beings. God is not like that. God, in his grace and in his goodness, You know, the very first thing that God does for a repentant sinner who comes to Christ for his salvation, the very first thing God does is he forgives every single sin. God is a gracious God. He is a giving God. He gave his Son. He is a forgiving God. Our sins are against God, but he's a God who's willing to forgive us our sins. And that record that we have of our sins that is against God, God is willing to clear that record. You know, God says that for those who come into the blessing of his salvation, you know what God says in his word? He says, your sins and your iniquities, I'll remember them no more. What a blessing that is. Friend, tonight in this meeting, that is what is available for you. If you come to Christ as the sinner that you are, you can have the forgiveness of your sins. You can be made right for the presence of God. Neither is there salvation in any other. It is only the Lord Jesus who can save you. Why? Because of what he did on the cross. Because of the sacrifice that he accomplished there. He died a sin-atoning death. He paid the price for man's sin. He shed his precious blood. And that blood has satisfied God. That blood has paid the price for man's sin. God has accepted what the Lord Jesus did on the cross. God raised him from the dead. God received him back to heaven, to his own right hand. The scripture says, him has God exalted with his right hand, a prince and a savior. His sacrifice has been accomplished to the eternal satisfaction of God. And so, as we close the meeting tonight, listen to the words of our verse. Neither is there salvation any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And Christ alone is the Savior. And he is a mighty Savior. The hymn puts it like this. He's a mighty Savior. He is good and true. He'll save you by his grace. Until you see his face, he'll do better for you than this world can do. Listen to the voice of the world. You will perish in a lost eternity. But the saving work has been done. And sinners who come to Christ in faith, he is able, he is willing to save you and to do so on a righteous basis and give you the forgiveness of your sins on the basis of his accomplished sacrifice and his death and his resurrection. Do you understand tonight the truth of the gospel, what it means to be saved? The Christian who is saved is one who is able to recognize Christ, he's died for me. Everything I deserved by way of judgment from God on account of my sins, it was borne for me by the Lord Jesus. There on the cross, he took my place. He was the one who paid the price for my sins. That's what the Christian believes. And we must be saved. And so, friend, tonight, don't put this off. Recognize that your need is urgent, but you have the opportunity now, in this meeting, even as you sit in your seat, you can draw near to God. You can take that step of faith. You can receive God's salvation. You need to be saved, and you can be eternally blessed tonight with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us close in prayer.